Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cryptic Cocktail Party, a show where we have a few drinks, share a few laughs, take a dive into the unknown. I'm your host Dave, and joined as always my lovely co-host Sarge the Destroyer. What's going on, handsome?
What's going on? I had an eventful day.
Did you?
Someone described it as a main character day.
I see. Well, all right, hold on. So I feel like when people describe someone else as a main character, that's not usually a good thing.
No, it's not usually a good thing. And I recognized that it could be problematic, but I know based on who it was coming from that it was like, oh no, you had a lot going on today.
You're good.
So, it's Star Wars Day, as we all know. And, there was a fun run at my child's school. Now my son,
there's no such thing as a fun run. Running is a nightmare.
No, there's nothing fun about it.
Okay. I'm glad we're on the same page.
It's an evolutionary thing. I mean, you literally only do it to escape from animals, you know, when they were chasing you. And then we were like, you know what would be fun is to do this, but without lions behind us. I hate it, but my son was like, he loves running, right? And he's like,
most kids do.
Dad, it's a fun run. You got to run with me. And I'm like, yeah, sure, bud. And he's like, I'm really fast, just so you know. And okay. I was like, oh, okay.
All right, kid.
So we get about, 2 seconds into this run and he sprints, right? He, jolts forward.
Well, that's not how you do
it. Disappears over the horizon, right?
You're gonna wear yourself out if you just, pace yourself.
Right. And so my 42-year-old ass, I'm like lumbering through. And there's my son with his hands on his knees, trying to catch his breath. We haven't even made it 100 yards. And I'm like, what's going on, buddy? Let's go. I thought you were fast. And so that was awful. And he just kept stopping the whole time. And I'm running the whole way through. Cause I'm like a freight train. I've got 2 speeds, go or stop. And so I knew if I stopped, it was going to take me too long to get going again.
Yeah.
So eventually I forced him to go through. We did like an 11 minute mile, which couldn't possibly be slower for me. I'm not even fast, but I do more than, an 11 minute mile.
I feel like that's not terrible for a child though.
It's not bad, but given how much he hyped himself up, he's like, oh dad, I'm real fast.
You're going to hold this kid to it.
Yeah. You're full of shit, bud. We were wearing matching shirts. We went to the Red Sox Star Wars game.
Yeah.
They do like Star Wars night. So we both had matching Red Sox jerseys for Star Wars. And we were both wearing Mandalorian hats. We had it. After we finished, we got medals and that was fun. And then we went to like a little party that they had at his school. And so there was tug of war. My son and I played tug of war. And I went easy on him because he's a little guy. So I'm like, I'm pulling back, and then jokingly I put the rope over my shoulder and started walking away from him, and he's holding on his end. And then I feel it get real difficult. And I turn around and there's 8 elementary school age children digging their heels in as hard as they can. And so I was like, oh, let's do it. Let's see how far I can go. I held my own for quite a while. I actually started to make a little progress. And then this little meaty son of a bitch jumped on the end.
You told me about that.
And yeah, he totally stopped my progress and I had to give up because it was too much. The boy was strong.
Well, like I was telling you, is that the husky kids are the ones you got to look out for. Okay. Because,
oh, I know,
like I said, outside of that soft exterior, as a husky kid, they goes, everyone's like, oh, you're so cute, punch the cheeks, all that. That causes intense rage. And like I said, it's mostly just rage and dense baked goods. Inside. So like, I believe I said to you, husky kids have the density of a dying sun. They're pretty much, they're pretty much unmovable. Because they're usually short, squat, like the center of gravity is there. So if you get a husky kid to be the anchor in a tug of war match, you're done. It doesn't matter who you are. You're done.
Absolutely. My middle son, he looks like he's overweight, right? He looks like he's a fat guy. He's built a little bit like Paul Sorvino.
Okay.
So anyway, he is solid.
So rude, I feel like, but it's good.
I
like
that. Solid. Yeah. He is immovable.
Yeah.
And I can tell that deep down, if he wanted to, he could destroy most people. He is just burly, but he looks so unassuming. He's like quiet. He's got glasses and braces. But I swear to God, that boy could punch a hole through a brick wall. Anyway, so after my son embarrassed me by inviting all of his friends to a tug of war,
I feel like 8-on-1, like, you're good. It's not embarrassed. Like, no, none of them. Like, no, I feel like none
once
of
it gets to 9. But the thing is, like, all the dads were kind of like laughing at me.
Well, I was just gonna say, I feel like even then the dads are like, well, 9 kids, that's a lot.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I'm like thinking to myself, get in here, you dicks! Like, let's go, let's all do this. You know, we can't let these kids win. We're gonna show them who's boss.
Could make these kids eat fucking dirt. Fuck these kids.
Yeah, right, you little bastards. Anyway, they also sort of raise money for the school. They have a cow. And the cow was fenced in this enclosure.
Hold on. To raise money for the school, they have this cow.
Yeah.
Is it a golden calf? Is this like a weird fucking, like, is this a religious thing? Or are we like...
This is going to get real country. And when I say real country, I mean, we live within 20 miles of like the... some of the greatest universities in America.
Right? You're about to say something that only I would understand and New England listeners will understand probably. Yeah. Yeah. No. Okay.
So knowing that we live in a fairly, you know, it's a suburb, but it's still fairly metropolitan area, like from the top of the street of Route 1, you can see the Boston skyline. Okay. Yeah. And so there's this field out behind the school, and they've got this like fenced in area. It's like, you know, temporary fencing, of course, in this grids paint spray painted with white spray paint. And they've got the cow, and basically you pick a square. And if the cow happens to shit in that square,
I knew exactly where you were going with this. As soon as you said grid, I knew it was going to be a cow patty situation.
Now, like, I can understand this if there's a lot of cows in your neighborhood. There's not a cow within like 20 miles of my house. I don't know where they trucked this fat son of a bitch in from, but the cow wasn't having it.
I'm from New Hampshire. This makes complete sense to me.
Yeah, I would expect this in New Hampshire. Like, they had to import the cow, you know? So anyway,
it's like a Dumbo drop situation. Had to fucking fly it in by Black Hawk and just drop it out the side.
Yeah, exactly. So the cow is in this very flimsy enclosure, and the cow decided, I don't want to be here anymore.
That tracks.
So this giant son of a bitch breaks through the pen. I don't know if it jumped over the small fence that was there or like, anyway, it's just rampaging, but not angry rampaging, just like, you know, the cow doesn't want to be in there anymore. So it's just running. But the whole area is full of children. So I'm like, this cow's going to body one of these kids. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
And the cow starts running towards me. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want these kids to get killed. So let me stop the cow.
What the fuck are you going to do against a cow?
Well, wait. So the cow's wearing this like rope thing around its head so you can control it. And so I grab onto it and I'm holding onto it. And I'm looking at this animal that is easily 3 times my weight.
Do you have a smooch?
And I'm looking into its big, you know, sweet brown eyes. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, buddy. But I'm thinking to myself, OK, now I have the cow. What do I do with it?
Well,
like I caught it. If I'm holding its head, but I'm like, if this cow decides it wants to continue moving, this isn't a tug of war situation. The cow's going to win.
Yeah, you'll get murdered.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm like trying to calm it down and be nice to it, but I'm like also scared because this thing's fucking huge. And I see this girl running from in the distance, and you know that she's running, one, because she wants to get the cow away from me and bring it back to its pen. But two, because she definitely fucked up somewhere along the road and wasn't paying attention. And that's how this like 600-pound beast managed to outrun her.
Yeah.
And so she comes up and she's like, oh, don't hold the rope like that. And I'm like, rope? Like, what are you talking about? I'm just trying to stop this thing from bodying a 6-year-old. And so I let it go and she takes it. But the fat ass cow steps on my foot.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. All right, I'm done. I'm out of here. it hurt like a son of a bitch because it's, you know, their feet are hooves. So it just jammed its hooves into the top of my foot. So eventually I gave up.
I feel like where you fucked up is that you didn't, you had the cow, you had its head, you were facing it, but you didn't do that thing that you do to golden retrievers where you just put your forehead on its forehead and they just know that you love it. I feel like that's where you fucked up. Because I would have given it a smooch. Yeah. I would have, you know, hey, girl.
Well, I was talking real nice to it, and I was patting its face. I was like, hey, buddy, don't run away because I don't want to die today.
Well, there you go. So you called it buddy, all right?
Cows are, no, I was being friendly with it.
But cows are notoriously known to be female. Bulls are buddies.
Oh,
right? You misgendered
the cow.
Right. And we won't stand for that.
You know, I'm actually mildly embarrassed that you say that right now, because I remember when I first saw the cow, I thought to myself, I wonder if that's a boy or a girl. This should give you out in the, this should give the listeners a bit of a clue as to how few farm animals we have on my end of Massachusetts.
Oh, well, I'm glad I could clear the air. That's fucking... Well,
I can't believe I thought that. I'm fucking idiot. I'm such a moron. I wonder if it's a boy or a girl cow. It doesn't have any udders. Oh, but it doesn't have any horns either, you fucking moron. Oh, man.
I'm glad you're not dead. Well, I'm glad...
That was my day.
I'm glad you didn't stop. I'm glad you didn't get killed by a cow, but I am glad that you stopped it from murdering a bunch of children. Although you did stop what would have been one of the best viral moments of your town that you live in.
I should have just filmed it, frankly.
If anyone recorded it. Yeah, exactly. But my day wasn't as exciting. I may have gotten a little bit drunk before we started recording this episode, and now
that's okay. I'll just catch up.
Now I'm drinking this fucking Bantha brew. So I speaking of Star Wars Day, everyone, we're already 12 minutes into this episode. We haven't even come close to what we're going to be talking about today.
Sorry, I had to tell somebody about the rampaging cow.
No, that's fine. Real quick, though, I did go to Neshaminy Creek Brewery up in Bristol County, Croydon to be exact, and they're doing their May the 4th Brew With You celebration today. And I picked up some of their Bantha Fodder Springbok German style lager, 7% alcohol. I've already had three of these babies. I'm ready to go.
You're ready to go. I'm excited.
So, real quick, before we start the episode, I might rearrange the segments of this episode, and this might be before your cow story. But we got it. Sarge, pay attention to me. Look at me.
I'm paying attention. Look at me. I'm ready.
All right. We got a really nice message on TikTok the other day. It was a DM and from a listener, and I don't normally get a lot of like DMs from people talking about like, hey, like shows, you know, whatever. But this actually really touched me, and I'm not going to say I got emotional, but like I've done the show for a year. We're only like 50 episodes in. And so for like to get feedback at all is fucking phenomenal, but to get a direct message, this is a segment I'm going to start calling Wholesome Content, and I made a soundbite for it. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Wholesome Content.
All right, so...
Okay, that was aggressive.
So, we got a message from a listener, and I'm going to read it just because I think everyone should hear it. It says, hey, I just wanted to reach out and say I was super excited to have found your podcast, and I really enjoy listening. I'm listening all week, and I swear it's the perfect blend of laughter and learning. It's just effortless for me to stay engaged and eager to keep listening. Also, bonus points for being a metalhead. Hope you have a great rest of your week, and I can't wait to hear more. Come on, man.
I love that.
Come on.
That makes all the work worth it. I mean, all the work you do. I do nothing. I just sit here and talk to you. But
yeah.
I mean, the research, because like the thing is, man, you do put a lot of energy in, you put a lot of work in. There's a lot of research that goes into the show. And, you know, that makes it so worth it to know that somebody out there appreciates it. I mean, that's just frigging great, man.
Yeah. So I guess going forward, let's do this. All right. So if anytime anyone ever leaves a review on Apple or something like that, or sends a DM, if you want to be part of the Wholesome Content segment, let me know and I'll do it on the show. Also real quick, before we get into the actual episode, starting this week, if you sign up for our Patreon, it's $5 a month. you will get unedited video episodes of the show.
Woo!
Because the shows that we record tend to be at least an hour. The actual episode that comes out is 40 to 30 minutes because we go off on things.
Yeah.
So I'll
make sure to keep my shirt on so you don't see my giant pepperoni nipples.
So starting this week, if you sign up for the Patreon, you will get unedited video episodes starting with last week's episode and this week's episode. So you get two for one this week if you sign up. It's only $5 a month. Not that, you know, like, it's whatever. Okay, Sarge.
Let's do it.
We're 15 minutes in. This is it's already going to be a nightmare. We're so far off of.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm so excited. I'm so ready.
All right.
My nipples are hard. Let's go.
So, Sarge, can I set the scene for you?
Please do.
All right. On a rural property. Oh, that's how drunk I am. On a rural property in the Manitash Ridge, 9 miles north of Ellensburg, Washington, a man made a discovery so big that for the past 30 years, it has gripped the paranormal and conspiracy community with fascination and intrigue. And this mystery has got everything. It's got Black Hawk helicopters, clandestine government agents, a dead dog.
I'm so in.
And this all started on...
I hope the dog died of natural causes. Otherwise, I'm going to be very mad at you.
I don't know how it died, but all of this started on February 21st, 1997, when that man, the owner of this property, called into Coast to Coast AM to tell Art Bell about...
I love Art Bell.
He called Coast to Coast AM to tell Art Bell about his hole. This man's name is Mel Waters, and today we are going to be covering the mystery that is Mel's Hole. Are you familiar with Mel's Hole? Let's be mature for a second. Are you familiar with Mel's Hole?
I have not been inside Mel's Hole. No, okay, I haven't.
Fuck me. I texted you saying I was going to regret this episode because it's going to be so mature. Did I not say that to you?
You did say it, and frankly, you didn't disappoint. I'm so excited about this.
So
tell me more about Mel's Hole. I want to know everything.
Does it require...
Is there an echo?
Surprisingly, no, and we will go over that.
There's no echo in Mel's Hole.
So... All right, let's all just take a breath. So the story of Mel's Holes is a rather unbelievable one. The only source of information about the hole and the surrounding mystery
The only source of information is some unverified writings on the wall of a public restroom.
So the only source of information about the hole and the surrounding mystery are from Mel and his numerous calls to Art Bell over the past few years. And while Coast to Coast AM is a somewhat iffy source, it's kind of like it's like all we got as far as this goes. So without any further delay, Sarge, are you ready?
It's not my fault. You're talking to me about Mel's Hole. I just wanted to listen.
So without any further delay.
Know more about the hole. How deep is it?
Are you ready to dive into Mel's Hole?
Yes. Yes. I am so ready.
All right.
Mel, I want to be inside your hole, buddy.
So according to Mel, located somewhere on his property, there's a big hole in the ground, obviously. It's roughly 9 feet in diameter with a retaining wall made of stone that goes down roughly 15 feet. And then after that, it's just like pure unadulterated darkness. Now, Mel and the owners of the property before him just assumed that like it was like an old well of sorts. And both the previous owners, as well as his neighbors and Mel, used the hole as like a trash pit. They would throw like old tires, old refrigerators, like just like washing machines, it just any sort of like big debris or household trash. It just went straight into the pit.
Yeah. I mean, why the fuck not?
Exactly. But after a few years of this, Mel started thinking like, hey man, we've been like, all of us have been tossing things into this hole for like a good while now. Why isn't this thing filling up? And
I feel bad for Mel. He's desperately trying to fill his hole and just nothing seems to be touching it.
But he also thought like, why couldn't you hear anything ever hit the bottom? Like you could, like you said, you couldn't even hear an echo if you were to shout directly into Mel's hole. So Mel, being a curious guy, decided he was gonna, you know, get to the literal bottom of this hole. So, being the avid fisherman that he was, he grabbed a few large spools of fishing line and he grabbed a 1 pound weight and just went to work. He just tied it around, tossed in the line, and let it unspool the full 5,000 feet that the spool had on it into the hole. But it never reached the bottom. So he thought, well, maybe there's like water at the bottom. So he pulled the line back up. He attached a roll of lifesavers to the line and cast it down again. And I don't know if he just had them on his person or if he went to the store to buy it. Either way, his thinking was that if there was water, they would come back up dissolved or at least like, at the very least, like wet.
I'm going to be honest with you. When you first said he was going to throw lifesavers in there, I was like, is he six? But they dropping them in there to see if they get wet. Like, okay, that's actually a really good point. Yeah. That's redneck ingenuity right there. You know what I mean? Like he wanted to know if it was wet down there. And the best way to do that is, you know, throw something in there. That's good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Mel.
I feel like you could have
underestimated your hole, buddy.
The weight would have come up wet, but that, you know, whatever.
It's fine.
But when he reeled the lifesavers back up, they were bone dry. So he attached another roll of 5,000 foot fishing line onto the other 500 foot fishing line to see if he could reach the bottom. Again, no avail. He did this again and again until he ran out of spools of fishing line. And by this time, the length of the line was 80,000 feet. To put that into context, that is 15 miles into the ground with no bottom in sight. Right? Fucked up. But
that's insane.
Right?
No, you got a deep ass hole, bro.
That's what I'm saying. But besides the hole seeming bottomless, there were other things off about this pit. Like if Mel brought his radio out to the hole, like just to listen to music while he was experimenting with his hole.
Sade, smooth operator. Yeah.
I should have worded this episode a lot better.
I mean, typically when I'm messing around with a strange hole, I try to, you know, set the mood right.
The signal would cut out and he would start getting broadcasts from somewhere else. One example he gave was that one day his radio started picking up what he called old timey music. So he decided to change the station to the baseball game. All seemed normal at first until he learns that the baseball game was being played in 1967, which is 30 years earlier. Now, is that weird? Yes. Could it have been a rebroadcast of an old game? Sure. But who listens to 30-year-old baseball games? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mel's dogs were also afraid to go near it. And if you tried to get them closer, they would just straight up like dig their heels into the ground and refuse to move. And it wasn't just
it's a good rule of thumb. You genuinely don't want to involve pets in your hole. It's illegal.
Okay. And but it wasn't just his dogs. His neighbor's dogs, as well as wildlife in general, just did not fuck with this hole. There was no insects around it. Fuck me. All right. Birds flew around it, and nature in general just avoided it at all costs.
But a bird never flew out of his hole, is what you're saying.
It wouldn't even go near it. It would fly around it. But weirdly enough, plants grew very well around the hole. Then, when Mel was going around asking the neighbors if they noticed anything weird about the hole, one of them told him, one of the most redneck things that I have ever heard in my entire life. The neighbor told him that not long ago his dog had passed away. So he did what any good pet owner would do and lovingly and respectfully fucking yeeted that dead dog straight down the hole. Just fucking Kobe.
And I just love it.
Let it go. So after just hucking his best friend into a bottomless pit like he's Gerard Butler in the fucking 300, he saw his dog running through a little wooded area near the property line, and he knew it was his dog because it was wearing the same collar. He tried calling out, but the dog didn't respond and acted like it didn't even know who he was.
Well, of course the dog didn't respond. You just threw it in a hole.
That was exactly what I wrote down. I was like, yeah, dude, you just fucking chucked it down a well.
I mean, my dog loves the shit out of me, but I'm pretty sure if I kicked her into a giant gaping hole in the ground, she's not going to be my best friend anymore.
Right? Like,
even dogs have standards.
Sarge, I love you. Love you to death. But if you were to yeet me into a bottomless pit and somehow interdimensionally came back through and like was in the woods, right? I'd be like, I'm going to get away. Fuck. I'm not going to come over to you. Fuck you, dude. But also it was dead. So I don't know. Anyways, but anyways,
honestly, like I would come up if you had done that to me, right? If you thrown me into a hole and I popped through like an interdimensional portal and came out somewhere else, I'd be like, dude, you got to try this.
I mean, honestly, that would be
fun. Let's go check it out.
But also you were dead and now you're alive. So I feel like the dog should be grateful. He just,
you did him a favor, right?
Exactly. But also, the disrespect.
It's just disrespectful. Yeah.
But anyways, after more fishing line, more stories from neighbors about weird things surrounding the hole, and now interdimensional dogs popping up left and right, it was becoming a little too much for Mel, and he decided it was time to reach out for some advice, and he did that by being a call-in guest on Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now,
there's no other place you can go to get reasonable hot takes on things than to go to Art Bell on Coast to Coast AM.
Art Bell's a fucking legend. I will never speak ill of Art Bell, RIP.
Who was the guy before him?
You know, it was Art Bell, and then it was George Norrie.
Oh, that's right. George Norrie was the guy after Art Bell.
Yeah. I love both of them. George Norrie's fucking... Art Bell's where
it's at. If you want someone to believe you immediately, on no matter how crazy what you're about to say is,
that's George Norrie.
Coast to Coast AM is a place to go.
George Norrie always believes everyone. Art Bell, I think he played into it because he was a showman and he was really good at what he did. And he, because like, we'll get into it later on, trust me.
Yeah.
But as soon as Art Bell's audience heard the story, like at least the story up to now, it instantly became like a hot topic. And at first, like, this was a good thing. People were giving Mel good advice on what to do to determine like the depth of the hole, like using lasers or sonar to try and measure the depth, things like that. But there was a downside. Coast to Coast, I don't know if people know this, but Coast to Coast is listened to by like millions of people worldwide. And thanks to context clues given by Mel on his appearance on the show, that means that like millions of people now had like a pretty good general idea of where Mel's hole
yes,
and his property were located. And not just fans of Art Bell's program, but the government as well. See, So Mel's first appearance on Coast to Coast wasn't very long. It was like an hour.
You want to keep the government out of your hole for the most part.
It was that rings truer now than it did in 1997.
That's fact.
Mel's first appearance on Coast to Coast wasn't very long. It's like an hour or so. And in the first call, he disclosed that he wasn't on the property at the time that he was giving the interview, but he was actually in the nearby city of Ellensburg for a couple of days, and he did the interview from there. But when it was time for Mel to return home, he headed up to the access road that led to his property, and he found that it was blocked off by the military. And he'd also noticed that evidence of some heavy machinery that had been brought through. I'm assuming like tracks, like caterpillar tracks, like up to the thing. So Mel was, he asked like, what's going on? And was told that there had been a plane crash on his property and he couldn't go home, even though there had been like no reports of a downed plane. And as far as Mel could tell, there wasn't any evidence of anything like there was no smoke. There was no fire. Like, he couldn't see anything.
Do we know, serious question, do we know how big Mel's property was?
Yes, but...
Is this like acres and acres of property, or...?
It's like a ranch.
Okay.
Kind of deal. Now, Mel was told that he wouldn't be able to return home until the crash was cleaned up and fully investigated. Like an investigation had been done. And, well, Mel, he didn't like that answer so much, so he demanded to speak to someone in charge. As I feel like
he wanted to talk to the manager. I get it.
I feel like this is the one time where being a Karen might actually pay off.
I mean, it's his property. It's his property. I'd be fucking furious if the government was like, no, you can't go in your own yard. I'd be like, go fuck yourself. I own this property. You can't just.
Yeah. My home is there. My food. It's going to go bad. You're going to replace my milk. Milk's expensive.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? That's messed up.
So he demanded to speak to someone in charge, and he was soon met by a man in plain civilian clothes and was told that he could not access the land and that as of now, the land technically wasn't his anymore. And he told Mel that if he didn't leave right away, they might just happen upon a drug lab or a weapon stash, something somewhere on Mel's property. Mel said, fuck that, and threatened to go to the press about all of this, to which the man was like, fucking dude, go ahead. No one's going to believe you. But see, that's where
go for it.
That's where he was wrong. Okay. Mel did go to the press, and there were people that did believe him, and that newslet again was coast to coast AM. So
you want to find people who completely believe that you've got a very unique hole. There's a couple of places you can go besides OnlyFans, and coast to coast AM is the way to go.
Yeah. Now, just a few days after this encounter with this deep state operative. Sorry. Yep.
That's okay. You're close.
Art Bell actually called up Mel for an update. And Sarge, it's with this second call that we will pick back up for part two and dive deeper into Mel's hole.
I'm going to suit up and I'm going in.
I had to do it.
Holy shit. I didn't even realize it. I was so wrapped up in the story that it's three. We've been recording for like
40 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it says 32 minutes, but that's fine.
Oh, no, we've been doing it.
Oh, I'm ready.
Yeah. So,
no, and that's a good place to leave off because this is going to go for a bit and I want more of Mel's hole.
But this story goes on so fucking long that it is, I don't like
the twist. I want to gaze into Mel's hole.
Twists and turns. It's not even like, you're a big fan of like the paranormal and you told me that you've done episodes of your podcast and like QAnon conspiracies and all this stuff. And I feel like this story fits into all of that because it is in 97, you couldn't do online conspiracies. You couldn't do a QAnon style conspiracy in 1997. You could, but it was like,
oh yeah, no, you had to go to like gun shows and there's some shady dude handing out pamphlets.
Yeah.
Who's wearing like Vietnam era camouflage.
And Coast to Coast was really good about like, at least with Art Bell, not with George Norrie. George Norrie literally believes everything that is ever said to him. Like Art Bell was very much a skeptic, but he didn't turn away people's stories. He's like me, where like if he doesn't believe the story, he's not going to straight up tell you, but he does believe that you believe something has happened. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He was Art Bell was a showman. George Norrie's a fucking shill.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but
no, I agree with you. You know, the thing is, I'm a huge skeptic. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you have to recognize that there are going to be things. I think it would be incredibly arrogant to be the kind of person who like just believes you know everything. And I always find myself like somebody will say something kind of crazy and I'm like, ah, you're out of your mind. And then in my head, I'm like, wait a minute. Just because it sounds a little crazy doesn't make it completely untrue. Mm-hmm. Maybe I just don't understand it yet. Maybe I need to learn a little bit more. And there have been so many times where I have heard something crazy and then looked into it a little bit and been like, you know what? It's not real, but there's some real elements to it.
Yeah. I'm the same way with conspiracy theories. Like I don't believe conspiracy theories. Do I?
Me neither.
Do I entertain them? I do in a sense that I don't entertain that they're real. I do in the sense that they're entertaining to me.
Yes.
And I do. Yes. And I do understand that people will believe them. And I actually have been trying to reach out to people because this is May, right? Are we in May?
Yeah.
May?
Still.
May is
just started.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And I do want to try and get someone who is more of an expert than us on, I want to have a good discussion on conspiracy thought and why people get into conspiracy thought.
Yes.
And I'm working on that now. So hopefully by the end of the month, we'll have like a good mental health awareness style episode on that.
That's I'm in.
But I feel like this, like Coast to Coast AM is a good Coast to Coast AM is a good breaking point from where you go from like Coast to Coast is where you go when you're like intrigued by aliens and conspiracy thoughts, but it's a weird gateway drug because I listened to Coast to Coast AM because it was entertaining and it was funny. Coast to Coast, other listeners, they'll listen to Coast and then they'll branch off and they'll take it seriously and they'll go to...
And then Alex Jones becomes something that doesn't sound as crazy.
They'll go to Alex Jones or even later on, like nowadays, it's like Steven Crowder or like... who's that dude that was with Kanye?
Fuentes.
Nick Fuentes. Like that kind of stuff. Like Coast to Coast AM has that weird thing, but Mel's Hole was one of those things where like... God damn it! Episode two, we gotta really tighten it up. We gotta tighten it up.
You gotta tighten that hole up. Yeah,
but
it's too loose. The hole is too loose.
But with Mel's Hole, like it was one of those things that like it didn't matter if it was like a art like people truly like were like kind like concerned for this man. Like it was like a weird thing. Like people rallied around him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm going to say this and it's going to sound funny. I don't mean it to be funny. People wanted to get to the bottom of Mel's Hole.
Yeah, no, they did. They did.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that to be a smart ass. It's going to sound funny, but the truth is I want to know what the fucking deal with Mel's Hole is. Like, I want to know what's going on in there.
Well,
God damn it. You can't help it, but sound ridiculous when you say Mel's Hole.
So, you know, what's fucked up is that it's not fucked up. It's cool. But Mel's Hole actually inspired a TV show starring Josh Brolin. And it's
really?
And it's on Amazon. Season
What's two, it called?
Season two comes out this week. It's called Outer Range. It's really good.
Okay.
And it's literally Mel's Hole. Like it's you can't watch season one. Now knowing this story, that's what
I'll check it out. For sure.
It's good. But spoiler alert for episode two, there might be more than one of Mel's holes.
Mel's got more than one hole. He's a penetration situation.
Mel may have more than one hole.
He's just getting filled out like an application, isn't he?
I think that's a good joke.
I want to put my finger in Mel's hole.
Well, I can't give you any spoilers, so we're just going to move on. Sarge. all right. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Sorry for how immature this episode was.
I'm a big child, guys, and I apologize for my behavior. I am being serious when I say I genuinely do want to know where this story goes because I'm actually very fascinated now. I've never heard of this before.
This might be a three-parter. There's a lot to... There's.
I'm along for the ride.
I now have learned that I got to choose my words carefully. There's a lot going on involving Mel's Hole. So it might be a three-parter. But anyways, if you want to follow us on Instagram, follow us at CryptoCocktail. TikTok Crypto Cocktail Party. If you want to follow Sarge on all of his social medias, you can do that by following the link tree in the Crypto Cocktail Instagram. Sarge, you got anything you want to plug?
Yes, Citizen's Guide to the Supernormal, my podcast. We went on hiatus for a long time. We are coming out with a new episode. I don't know exactly when it's going to drop. It'll probably drop before our next episode drops, but that's okay. I'm going to let you know about it when we record next week. I will let you know when Citizen's Guide to the Supernormal is coming out.
Hell yeah.
Our first episode is actually going to be about execution methods.
Ooh.
Because we like to cover weird shit. So it's Citizen's Guide to the Supernormal. And we are on all podcast platforms as well. So, I'll keep you guys posted, but that's coming up. I'm working with Maynard, who is actually my next door neighbor, and his lovely wife, Laura. And we are not as well researched as this podcast, but we do like to make immature jokes. So Mel's Hole is certainly going to be something that we are all going to listen to and laugh about.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you. Find us on Instagram and all the other socials, and Citizen's Guide to the Supernormal should be coming out soon.
Awesome. And if you want to support us on Patreon, me and Sarge, and by that I mean me. Just kidding.
Yeah, just him, really, because he's got to pay for the show.
He's just here.
I just show up. He does all the work.
It's
yeah. Patreon.com/ I'm an emotional support, Sarge.
Patreon.com/CryptidCocktailParty, and it's $5 a month. You'll get unedited full video of the show. And I think that's, you know, we'll come up with some other stuff, maybe some stickers, but it doesn't matter. Either way, it's $5 a month.
Yeah, I'm happy to like, I don't know, have a weird reaction to a statement for you on video. You want me to wish somebody a happy birthday that I don't know?
Yeah.
I'll do whatever.
Yeah, he'll literally do whatever for $5. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, I've got, I'll show you my nipples. We'll do that.
All right, Sarge, do you want to say goodbye to everyone?
Mwah, I love you.